Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my friend Stephen Garchar is back.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. Wow, this is great. The team was broken up for a while because Stephen had some important work to do in the mission fields of Youngstown.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went well.
Did you convert the heathens?
Yes, a few.
Anyway, we're really glad Stephen is back, and it's good to have the team back together.
Yes. No longer separated. No longer two, but one.
Wow.
Exactly.
Very good. Yeah, and I was tired of being the music minister anyway, so I'm going to give that job back to you.
Did you play all those minor chords?
I did.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I did some kind of harmonic thing, too. But
a harmonica?
Harmonicas, yes.
Okay.
Many of the ancient musicians, like King David, were very good on a harmonica.
I think that was the harp.
Yeah, that's right. I always get those two mixed
up.
Yeah,
they're closely related.
Not. Anyway, enough of this nonsense. Anyway, okay. We are back with you, and as you know, if you listen to this show, we teach God's Word, and it's awesome to be in the Word on Sunday night or any night or any day. And the last 4 weeks, we had Pastor Adil from Galilee here with us, and I hope you got to hear his show. And he did a show about his ministry in the town of Kiryat Shemona in the far north of Galilee, and then he did a teaching from Psalm 83. He did. Then we did a show about Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and then we did a show about evangelization in the land of Israel and how, as we move through these end times that we're in, it has become more and more urgent to preach the gospel, not just in Israel but everywhere. But right. The Lord has placed him in the land of Israel where his ministry is and where he's been commissioned to preach. Stephen and I have been commissioned to preach here and on this radio show.
Yes.
Although we'd probably rather be in Israel, but it's also fun to be here.
Yes.
Anyway, and, in Acts chapter 17, it says we're all put where we're supposed to be and at the time we're supposed to be, and we are supposed to be here. But we had fun with Pastor Adil, and he is safely back in the land, and continue to pray for him and his ministry. And if you go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, under the section called Ministry, you can find a way to financially support him in his ministry called The Light of Galilee. And certainly, just as important, actually more important, is to pray for him and his congregation as they evangelize the Galilee area.
Yeah.
And since we're going to kind of actually continue along these themes, I mean, we've done, we did 4 or 5 shows on prophets that preached desolation and exile and destruction, and then Jesus himself did it, and then Pastor Adil talked about the urgency of preaching the gospel now. And as we've talked many times on this show, we have to get back to this in our modern time, because in our modern time, people are confused about what the gospel actually is.
Yes.
And the gospel's been kind of hijacked into, well, as long as you're nice to everyone and you don't upset anyone, and, you know, once in a while you help a little old lady across the street, and once in a while you put a dollar in your church's collection, and once in a while you take a can of food to the hunger center, then you're okay.
Yeah.
And then if you're really good, you might consider going to church on Sunday morning for 57 minutes or so, and then you think you've accomplished pretty much everything you're supposed to do.
On Christmas and Easter?
Yeah, Christmas and Easter for sure, and then sometimes other Sundays
too. More than that?
More than that.
Oh, my gosh.
More than that.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but see, we kind of think God will be impressed if we go for 57 minutes like on a regular Sunday.
Yeah.
He's going to say, wow, I can't believe it. He went again? That's amazing.
Wow. He must really love me.
He deserves salvation just based on that.
He's earned his salvation.
He's earned it.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about earning. Heresy. We're going to talk a little bit about what the gospel is, and we're going to do it with a teacher who really preached it with enthusiasm, and that is Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus.
Ah, yes.
St. Paul.
Yes.
Just so we know which Paul we're talking about.
Okay. Not that other Paul that sings that music on this show, right?
No. Okay. Although he preaches the gospel too.
Yes.
Anyway, I have a son, Paul, but he doesn't preach the gospel on this show. Anyway, so this is the Apostle Paul. He's also called an apostle, and we're going to get into that. And what we're going to do tonight and probably next week too is from the book of Galatians. In chapter 1 of Galatians, Paul really outlines the threat that comes to the gospel. And we've had threats come to the gospel in our time. Any of you that are over the age of about, 45 or so can remember back when you were young and how things have changed in the time that we're in now.
Right.
And especially now in the middle of a presidential election campaign, we see all kind of issues flying around.
All the malarkey.
All the malarkey.
All the stuff.
Yeah. And without getting too political, maybe we'll talk a little bit later about the vice president last Thursday night, yeah, talking about his view of life issues and mm-hmm. how he's, doesn't want to impose them on anybody. But
heaven anyway, forbid.
Yeah. But Paul, St. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, Paul.
He was not afraid to.
He was not afraid.
His beliefs on anyone.
No. And in Romans 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation.
Exactly.
And then he told the Corinthians, I preach Christ and Christ crucified, and all I want to know is Christ and Christ crucified. And if you guys think I'm crazy, I don't care.
One thing that's true about human nature, a human being will only say what they believe to be true.
Yeah.
Because you have to convince yourself that it's true.
Yes.
Or else you're not going to say it.
That's right.
That's psychologically, right. They've proven that.
That's right.
Over and over
out
again.
Out of the mouth comes what the heart really believes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can try to cover it up, but people can usually tell.
Yeah. Eventually it comes out.
Yeah. So Galatians chapter 1 is just kind of interesting because, of course, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. And we're going to talk about that. Galatia's in present-day Turkey. And at that time, he was spreading the gospel through the whole Roman area, the whole Mediterranean Empire. I mean, Mediterranean Sea, Roman Empire.
Yes.
So, Stephen, why don't you read verse 1 and 2 of Galatians 1? So take your Bible out, unless you're driving, then don't take your Bible out.
Yeah. Okay. Paul, an apostle, not from human beings, nor through a human being, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me to the churches of Galatia.
Ooh. So this is kind of the typical introduction that Paul uses. There's something typical here, and then we're going to talk about later about something that's not typical about this with Paul. This shows that the author of the letter is definitely Paul, and he's emphasizing his authority. You know, if you read that, where Stephen just read, he says, Paul, an apostle. Now, an apostle we've talked about is someone who's called. All the apostles were called.
Right.
The apostles that we know that walked with Jesus, he called each one of them.
Chosen, yeah.
Yeah, chosen, follow me. Now, Paul didn't walk around with Jesus when Jesus was walking around on the earth.
Right.
But he got called by Jesus, too, in a kind of a more dramatic way.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get called during the earthly time of Jesus. But he was called by the resurrected Christ.
Yes.
and as he talks many times, the resurrection is the ultimate sign that what he's saying is true, mm-hmm. and the gospel that he's preaching is really true.
Exactly. Yeah. And what you're bringing up is you're saying what he believes, he's preaching what he believes is true, and the mm-hmm. gospel is true.
Yeah.
And that is the essence of, I think, what we're speaking about here is that this is the truth,
mm-hmm.
and we speak the truth because we believe the truth, and not just because we believe it, but it's been revealed to us to be truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you can only speak what's in your heart, like you said before. You're only going to speak what's in your heart, and the truth is going to be known of where I stand, where you stand, mm-hmm. where our neighbor stands. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Paul comes in and writes the letter. He's writing this letter to the Galatians, and he's not afraid to preach the gospel because he knows it's truth.
Yeah.
And because he knows the power of God, because he experienced the power of God.
Yeah.
He experienced the hand of God and the mercy of God.
And he got the gospel revealed to him in a really dramatic way.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, he emphasizes his authority, and he puts himself in the same position as the original apostles. He says, mm-hmm. well, I'm an apostle, mm-hmm. which is, you know, not many people can say I'm an apostle. You know, in this day and age, if somebody says I'm an apostle, you say, well, that's a little weird.
Yeah.
but yeah. you know, not many people say I'm an apostle. Paul says he's an apostle. He puts mm-hmm. himself in the same position. Now, it sounds like in the Galatian churches, maybe some people were threatening, you know, doubting his authority or saying, well, that guy Paul, you know, who's he think he is?
Right.
You know, he told us all this stuff, you know, how do we know he's right? How do we know, you know, he's got the truth? I got the truth too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like maybe there was a little bit of rebellion. So he may have been challenged. And so he says, look, I have the authority because I'm an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And apostles were these men that were chosen. Like you say, they were sent
mm-hmm.
and they speak for God.
Yes.
As his delegates.
Right.
Now, we can all speak for God. You know, the prophets spoke for God, but apostles were, you know, in a very different kind of class, because they had yeah. been directly called and they were sent out
mm-hmm.
with the sent ones. And Paul says, I'm one of those guys too.
Yeah.
And he says, this is my office. This is my authority. And then he also says how he got that authority. He says, I didn't get it from men. I didn't get it through men. I got it through Jesus. And this is pretty cool. Like, nobody came over and said, Paul, we now declare that you're an apostle. You know, nobody came and laid hands on him.
Nobody commissioned him?
Nobody commissioned him. Nobody ordained him.
There wasn't a ceremony or a service?
No.
Wow.
Peter or Thomas or Mark or any of those other guys didn't come and say, Paul, we talked this over and we decided to make you an apostle too. After all, they were scared to death of this guy at the beginning. But, you know, he got his authority
mm-hmm.
directly from Jesus and God the Father who raised him, meaning Jesus, from the dead.
Right.
And he's not ashamed. You just said, you know, he's not ashamed of the gospel. He's not ashamed to state that.
Right.
Because I got the gospel directly. I got this commissioning directly. I got this authority directly. Mm-hmm. I didn't take this on my own. You know, I wasn't Paul the Pharisee that went to a new Bible school and I sat there for 4 years studying. And right. so now I've decided to call myself an apostle.
Right.
And exactly. I didn't take an online course from anywhere. And
did they have those back then?
Yes.
Oh,
except,
wow,
you know, the scroll came right out of your computer
uh-huh.
and kind of unrolled.
Oh.
So he didn't.
Interesting.
He didn't take an online course. He was called in a totally divine way.
Right.
And he says, I wasn't called by men or through men. He says, I didn't receive my qualifications from men. I was called by the resurrected Christ, who God the Father sent and raised from the dead. That's where I get my authority. And that this, I'm writing you this letter based on that authority. I preach the gospel to you based on this authority. And he says, you know, the brethren are with him. So, you know, there's people with him that agree with him, that travel with him, that agree with his teachings, that, you know, work with him in ministry. He says, these guys are with me. I have the authority, and I'm writing this letter to the churches in Galatia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you guys think I'm some false teacher, or you guys think I'm somebody who just appointed myself to some office, you're wrong. So he makes it very clear right from the beginning that when he gets to the meat of this, which we're going to get to in a few minutes, he's saying this from a position of authority. And it's not just something that happens to be his opinion after mm-hmm. he read a couple of Bibles and two or three commentaries, you know, like, right. like we do.
uh,
Yeah, there's been very few people that have received the gospel the same way that he did.
That Paul did, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very rare that the gospel is infused to someone supernaturally as it was Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has happened uh-huh. where someone has encountered God and the risen Lord, and they are given that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And they mm-hmm. are called and sent to preach.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, why don't you read verse 3, 4, and 5.
Read on.
Yeah.
Okay. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us from the present evil age in accord with the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah. So it's addressed to the churches, plural, in Galatia.
Right.
So apparently what's happened is there's been some problem there. There's been some false teaching going on, which we're going to get to in a minute. And he is going to now counteract this, and he's going to restore the gospel that he had originally come and preached.
Mm-hmm.
There had been some falling away. Now, while we're going through this, I want you to keep in mind the time that we live in now.
Right.
And what has happened to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very similar situation. So I don't mean me, but Paul says, you know what? I was there. I preached the gospel to you guys. I left for a while, and then something happened. False teachers came in. Now you guys are doubting what I was saying. These guys are trying to question my authority. I'm an apostle. I was called. I preached the gospel. And now I'm going to tell you exactly what the gospel is again and where you've gone wrong. So he gives them a blessing, which is nice. He gives them kind of the apostolic blessing, you know, mm-hmm. like he does grace and peace. You know, he right. does that in all his letters.
Grace and peace to you.
Yeah. And, you know, he says, you know, it's in the name of Jesus who gave himself for sins to deliver us from this evil age. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of nice. Yeah. It kind of emphasizes that this is the plan of salvation.
It's not him. It's coming from the Lord.
Right. Coming from the Lord. That's the authority. It's the plan of salvation through Jesus. It's the plan of the Father from all ages, you know, as it says in many places in the scripture. The plan is the plan from all ages.
Right.
It didn't just start the day that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It didn't start on Good Friday when he was crucified.
Right.
The plan formed long before then. So the plan is salvation through Jesus. And he points out, too, that Jesus, that the Father is the Father of Jesus, but he's also our Father. You know, this goes back, Jesus many times talked about the Father.
Yes.
And in John chapter 20, you know, Jesus calls him his Father and our Father. He goes, I go back to my Father and your Father. So this is the authority of this comes from God himself, who's Father over all, and the plan of salvation came through Jesus the Son. And, you know, in this case, he kind of gives the blessing and a praise of all this.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts out by saying who he is, where he got his authority, gives them a blessing before he gets kind of into the meat of the thing. And, whoa.
And he played this song?
Yes, he did. This was the group that traveled with him.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That's awesome.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org, or you can find us on Facebook. We're going to listen to this awesome song, and we'll be right back.
Blessed is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel Adonai. Blessed is the Lord, Min Ha'olam, Vad Ha'olam. Praise His name forever and again. Min Ha'olam, Vad Ha'olam. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Hey, so let the nation sing and praise Him. Israel will say amen. Sing all you nations, hallelujah. And Israel will say amen. So let the nations sing and praise Him. And Israel will sing. is the Lord, Baruch Adonai, Elohei Israel Adonai. Blessed is the Lord, Min HaOlam, Vad HaOlam, praise His name forever and again. Min HaOlam, Vad HaOlam, blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel. Sing and praise Him, and Israel will say amen. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will say amen. So let the nations sing and praise Him, and Israel will say amen. Sing all you nations, hallelujah, and Israel will say amen. And Israel will say.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yes, it is.
By our friend Paul Wilbur.
So he traveled with Paul?
He did.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he did, you know, the worship music, and then St. Paul would preach.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
And sometimes Paul Wilbur would preach, too.
He's never talked to us about that.
Yeah, no.
He probably doesn't want to.
He's a lot older than he looks. Yeah. He does have gray hair. But
older than Moses. That makes him older than Moses.
Anyway. So now, let's get into the meat of this.
Yes.
Steve, if you want to read 6-9, this is good stuff.
I am amazed that you are so quickly forsaking the one who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Not that there is another, but there are some who are disturbing you and wish to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that was preached to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel other than the one that you received, let that one be accursed.
Wow, isn't that awesome? So he marvels that they turned away so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just there, preached the gospel, left, and then all of a sudden, there's a problem.
Went down to Reuben's for a sandwich and—
Yes, and he came back and there was some problem.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and instead of calling everybody together and having a meeting, he decided to handle this himself.
Yes.
And— yeah, we didn't get the elders, didn't call anybody. But this turning away, I mean, the term turn away is kind of a powerful thing had happened.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't just some people saying, well, what did he mean by this? What did he mean by that? This was a serious thing. In fact, the Greek there is in the present tense, so it means it was still ongoing as he was writing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned away so quickly from being called in the grace of Christ, which was the true gospel, mm-hmm. to a different gospel.
False gospel, yeah.
False gospel, which wasn't a gospel at all.
Right.
And, you know, he points out that, you know, they had turned away from the purity of the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, he came and preached to them that it's grace now, not law,
mm-hmm.
that it's grace through Jesus dying on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice is once for all. And this is what he preached to them. Now they had turned away from that, and they were somehow now doing something else. You know, they were called in grace, but now they were turning away. And, you know, the author of the book of Hebrews talks about that too, because he says, he points out that the things in the Old Testament, especially in the Torah and the prophets, were types and shadows mm-hmm. of what was coming, and Jesus was the substance.
Right.
Then the author says, when you have the substance and you decide to go back to the types and shadows, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't leave the substance to go back and do types and shadows.
Because the only way that, I think we've talked about this before on the show, the only way that you can have a shadow is if you actually have something of substance.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So he doesn't want you to go backwards. And the author of the Hebrews also says, if you turn away from so great a salvation, then where are you going to go?
Yeah.
You can say, well, I'm going to go back to the law. Then you can say, well, good luck.
Yeah.
That's going to be a tough go.
Are you going to offer a sacrifice?
Right. If I'm going to reject the gospel of salvation, if I'm going to reject salvation by grace, then what's the other option? Well, then I have to keep the law perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Because if Christ died once for all sin, do you go back and start offering animal sacrifice again?
Right.
Then Christ died in vain.
Right. Exactly.
So it doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
And, you know, it reminds me of when Moses and Aaron are at Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up to speak to God.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens in the camp is that they turn against, you know, they turn against Moses and Aaron, and they make Moses make a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
And they so quickly turned away when God had led them out of Egypt and into the desert.
Yeah. They were always rebelling.
They're always rebelling. So it reminds me of that because I think a lot of times, humanly, we are quick to rebel against God.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize the grace and really the mercy that is there that yeah. God pours out upon us.
Exactly.
And it's like we can forget like that.
Yeah.
Almost that easily.
Yeah.
And that's a shallow faith.
Yes.
And our faith has to take root. It has to take a hold of us
mm-hmm.
that God can transform us.
Mm.
And we're not carried away by, you know, all the things of the world where, and I think you see this many times where people do come to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
They give their life over to Christ
mm-hmm.
and they receive him as their personal savior.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens? Do they begin to read the word of God? Do they... Mm-hmm. allow God to transform their life, their heart, their mind? Do they allow the Holy Spirit to transform and cleanse their mind of all the impurities that might be there,
right.
their heart of all the impurities that might be there? You know, thoughts, words, habits, actions
mm-hmm.
run very deep.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the Lord needs time to, certainly he can take all that away. But even Paul says, you know, the Lord left this thing for me.
Yeah.
So that I wouldn't get proud and boastful.
Yeah, the thorn in his flesh.
And, you know, in my own walk with the Lord, I think sometimes if that wasn't there, I wouldn't turn to God and ask for grace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting that sometimes is left there because I've recognized that. And it wasn't, you know, that, you know, it's been, what, 12, 13 years or 14 years, actually, since, mm-hmm. you know, I came back to the Lord. And that's not something that I realized until a couple years ago,
mm.
you know, that as I was praying, like, I don't think I would be turning to the Lord and asking for grace if that wasn't there.
Yes.
So God can use anything, but it's amazing, as you're saying, how fast these people accepted another gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. Which isn't another gospel.
Right.
There's only one gospel.
Yeah.
And interestingly, as we've talked many times, you know, we live in an age of tolerance, so everything should be tolerated. And you've probably heard people say, oh, well, you know, all the religions are the same. They all get to the same place.
Right.
And they're all different roads up the mountain, but they all go to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you have to ask yourself in that case is, if that's true, then was Jesus mentally ill?
Mm-hmm.
Was he a fool? Why would he subject himself to this horrible suffering and death if you can be saved by any number of other things?
Yeah.
And if you've seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
For someone to go through that, he had to be fully convinced that this was the only way that sin could be dealt with and salvation could come.
Right.
Otherwise, he was mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
If there are different roads up the mountain, why would he go through what he went through?
Right.
And it's you have to bring that up to your friends when they say, oh, well, you know, isn't it all the same?
Yeah.
Isn't it all the same?
And see, Paul, because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he kept the law, when he encountered the risen Lord, you know, you see it through all the letters that he wrote to the churches.
Mm-hmm.
He just has such an eloquent way of proclaiming the gospel from the perspective yeah. of, I followed the law, mm-hmm. I kept the law,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that this grace only comes mm-hmm. through the death of Christ.
Yes, amen.
He paid the debt
That's right.
For my transgressions.
That's right.
That I myself cannot pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's saying in those verses you just read.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, that's where the grace comes from.
Yeah.
And these people were starting to turn away from the grace.
Mm-hmm.
They started to turn away from these blessings.
Yeah.
And he was shocked that it happened so soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know how long it was. We don't know if it was a year or 2 years or 2 months or whatever it was.
Right.
But he was shocked that it happened so soon. And the Greek word there is in the present tense, you know, turning away. And it's the same word that's used when there's a military retreat. So it's like these people were like backing away from the gospel in a kind of a serious way.
Mm,
they were like,
right.
You know, like an army that's starting to retreat. And, you know, maybe we should go back to the types and shadows. You know, maybe we should pick a new leader and go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
What did this Moses guy bring us out here for? What's this Paul guy talking about? What if he's wrong? Let's go back to what we were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he is talking to them about. And he's so surprised that these people were coming in and perverting this gospel of grace. They were perverting the gift of grace,
mm-hmm.
which would be a good name for a radio show.
Yeah.
And it would be a really good name. But anyway.
Got to check into that.
Yeah, that they is that copyrighted? That they turned away from, they turned away this, and you know they started to go back to the legalism. They started to go back to the law.
Mm-hmm.
They started to mingle law and grace, back to what the Pharisees did. Now Paul was a Pharisee, mm-hmm. as you pointed out a few minutes ago.
Right.
He said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on in this chapter, he's going to say nobody was more of a Pharisee than I was.
He was boasting.
Yeah, he was boasting. Nobody was more zealous for the law and for the traditions of the fathers than I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here I am saying, no, that's not how you do it. It's a gospel of grace. It's through the sacrifice of Christ, and this is what you have to turn to.
Right.
There were people that were starting to go back toward the Pharisees, and the gospel was being weakened.
Right. And you have a... as he's telling them about this, there's the, I think you can fall back into the mindset of that, well, this is how we've, you know, this is what we've always done. The people that are preaching this false doctrine,
mm-hmm.
they didn't obviously believe everything that Paul spoke.
Exactly.
Because they had the old wine.
Yeah, good point.
And, you know, Jesus talks about putting new wine into new wineskins. You can't put old wine into, or new wine into an old wineskin because it's going to burst.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, it all goes along with being reborn, being born again, being a new creation in Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And how if you know, if you take your old self and try and hold on to it, you're going to be fighting against God for a long time. it won't mix. And, you know, I think it's an essential point as we're talking about is that if you look at the life of a believer from when they first received the Lord
mm-hmm.
and how their life changes, how their relationships change,
mm-hmm.
How they interact with their family changes.
Mm-hmm.
How they interact with their friends changes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes their friends, and I hear this from many people, you know, I started going to church or I came back to the Lord and, you know, it was just wonderful. And then all these things started happening.
Yeah, exactly.
What's happening? It's God is transforming that life to be in accordance with His will.
Mm-hmm.
And not with the life that you had before, because that's the old wine.
Right.
And God has a new wineskin that He's going to put you in.
That's right.
And He has to remake you.
Yes.
And if we fight that, we're fighting against God.
Yeah.
And I remember this was probably a year or two after my wife and I had come back to the Lord. And I was receiving some prayer ministry, and the one... gentleman said, you know, I'm getting this vision of this wheel, and there's this grinding, these wheels, these are grinding of these wheels. And you know, we were inquiring as to what it was. And he goes, I'm getting the sense that it's your will against God's will.
Mm.
Because I was still holding on to the old things that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And God's trying to remake me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, it can be a long process sometimes for people as they go through their faith life and their conversion, which is ongoing, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
As evidence of even the Galatians.
Yeah.
They were in need of more conversion.
That's right.
Because
they still had
faith,
some old wineskins.
They had some old wineskins left around. So it's a very important point that we're bringing out, because our faith has to be much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Much deeper than that.
Mm. Wow, that's good. That's an excellent point. And, you know, Paul says, that, you know, they've weakened the gospel of mm-hmm. grace. It's been perverted.
Right.
And remember, you know, we're talking about how things are in our time. You know, the gospel's been perverted now in our time as to be nice to everyone.
Right. We want to sanitize a lot
of... Right. We want to sanitize. We want everybody should be nice. We should be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus never said, go out and be mean to everybody.
Right.
I want you to be nice. But the gospel is not go out and be nice or sit home and worry about the poor people.
The gospel is to go and proclaim it.
Yes, exactly. The gospel is the fact that the plan of salvation was that Jesus was the Savior. He was Messiah, that he came and died, that our sin was put on him. He died on the cross, and through his blood, our sins forgiven and we're saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gospel.
Right.
And we've talked about this many times. The kerygma, the basic nucleus of Christianity mm-hmm. is that.
Right.
And because of that, when you believe that and you accept that, then you start to do the, quote, nice things.
Exactly.
You start to go out and help the poor, and you start to go out and feed people, and you start to go out and work in the soup kitchen, and you start to go out and teach the kids, and you start... But the gospel is not go teach the kids, go do the soup kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what you believe about who Jesus is or who Muhammad was or who Buddha was, it's all the same as long as you're in the soup kitchen.
Right, because you can't really do those works
right.
apart from having a love of neighbor and
and
a love of God.
That's right.
If you don't have a love of God, you can go and be nice to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus even says, you know, love your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Bless those who persecute you. And, the, you know, he says, well, even the pagans do the same thing.
That's
even
right.
They take care
That's
of their
right.
own.
Oh, yeah.
It's not anything yeah. to your advantage that you're being nice to your own brethren.
Even the pagans love people that love them.
Right. So there's a call there to go deeper within, you know, go deeper within yourself to, but it comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you love the Lord... You can't do all these things apart from a relationship with God,
right.
apart from a relationship in the Word of God.
Exactly.
And if you're, as we do here every Sunday, we're studying the Word of God, that Word has to soak into us
mm-hmm.
and saturate us.
Exactly.
And that we are renewed by the Word of God, and then that's what we become.
Exactly. Well, that's really well put. That's perfect. And this is what Paul was upset about. And he was more upset about this than he was about anything else that he preached about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you read the First and Second Corinthians, there were all kind of moral problems in the Corinthian church, and there was all
yeah.
kinds of stuff going on. But he wasn't as upset at the Corinthians as he was about this.
Right.
I mean, later on, he's going to say, foolish Galatians, what's the matter with you people? Who has bewitched you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he calls them foolish.
Yeah.
You know, most people who have written in the scriptures don't call people foolish, but Paul does to these Galatians. He's more upset about this than he is in the moral problems that the church in Corinth was having.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. He's very upset. And when I said at the beginning that his greeting is a little bit, part of it is the same, part of it is different. The same part is, hi, I'm Paul, I'm an apostle, and I'm writing you this letter to the church. But the different part of it is all the other epistles include thanking God for the people, you know, that are in the church. You remember we did Romans? They said, mm-hmm. I thank God for you guys, and everybody's talking about you.
Right.
There's all kinds of thanksgivings about the believers that are in that church, and all the other epistles have that, but this epistle doesn't have that.
You know, it has a stern
It's a very
rebuke.
Stern, and it's about the theological problems that they're having, not the moral problems that they're having. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't thank God for the, and he doesn't bless the people like he does in the other letters.
Right.
Because this is a very serious problem for him. It's Paul again. The other Paul.
I'm all confused.
Well, me too. There's too many Pauls. Anyway, we're going to take another break. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. And look, you can look for us on Facebook. We'll be back after we listen to this awesome song.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're already in the last section, last section of the show.
Wow.
I can't believe it. Anyway, this is interesting because we just ended before the break about talking about how Paul's more upset about the theological problems than the whatever moral problems they might have been having.
Right.
And he doesn't even give thanks for them. He's so upset. And what's happened in this place, as we're going to find out later in the book, is that the so-called Judaizers are coming in.
Mm.
Now, Judaizers were these people that were telling people, well, you know, you Gentiles, if you want to come to Jesus, that's awesome. But first, you have to come into Judaism. First, you have to be circumcised, and then we'll talk about these other laws. They were calling people to another gospel that had a lot of works involved with it. It was not the gospel that Paul preached, so it's not really another gospel because it's not good news.
Right.
Gospel means good news.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not good news if somebody says, well, you can be a follower of Jesus, but first you have to do this, and then you have to start doing all these other laws. And if you don't do the laws right, then that's bad. So that's not the good news of the gospel, and it kind of overturns the real gospel.
Yeah.
Because it's telling people, look, if you want to find a way to heaven, you got to start doing some work here. You can't just be sitting here praising Jesus and praying and singing, and you got to get to work.
You got to work so you can earn your salvation.
That's right. And this is not, we're not saying that works aren't important, but we're talking about a works-oriented salvation had already crept back into the thing, and the false teachers were misleading some of these people.
Mm-hmm. I think you bring up a good point there, and it's that we are not saying that we don't obey God's laws, because then we're disobeying God.
Sure.
But what you are saying is the gift of salvation is given freely by no merit of our own, only through the grace of God. And it's freely given as a gift in spite of my sinfulness, in spite of your sinfulness, and anybody else who's listening. So
exactly.
It's only through God's grace that we receive this gift of salvation, and we can't earn it at all.
Amen. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And if you don't get anything else out of any of these shows, that's the important message of the gospel. Stephen just said, and this is what, you know, for those of you that are out there saying, I don't know what these guys are talking about. This is the important, this is the message of salvation. This is the gospel. That when you turn to Jesus, confess your sins, accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're saved by his blood. His blood paid the penalty for your sins. And you're not going to earn your way in.
Right.
There's not going to be a checklist of things. And this is the gospel. And this is what Paul was talking about, because now there were teachers. Now, teachers are more responsible than others.
Yes, very much so.
You know, if, I mean, if you're just some dopey Galatian who doesn't know anything, you know, you're... You hear Paul preach the gospel and you say, wow, this is great. I love this. I understand what Jesus did now, and I want to give my life to him, and I want to repent of my sins. And Paul says, excellent, awesome. And then somebody comes along and says, wait a minute now.
Not so fast.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Have you been circumcised? Have you had this? Have you had that? And he says, well, I don't know. But see, if you're a dopey Galatian, you can be influenced by a teacher, and the teacher bears a big responsibility for this.
Yes.
You know, in the book of James, it says, if you're going to be a teacher, you got to be careful, because you're going to be held to a higher standard of judgment, because what you say influences people.
Right.
If you're going to be the pastor or leading person of a church of, you know, 3,000 people, those 3,000 people are going to listen to what you say. And if you're saying wrong things, you're going to be responsible.
You're responsible for those 3,000.
And you're going to be held to a higher standard. More, you know, the teacher's more responsible.
Yeah.
And Paul said, look, the gospel is grace. And even if an angel comes, an angel from heaven comes, even if I come back, he says, if we, I come back, an angel, you see a beautiful angel show up who preaches you some other gospel, let him be accursed. So this is very strong.
Yeah.
So can you imagine these people, if they saw an angel who said, let me tell you what the gospel is, and said the gospel was something different than what Paul had said, you should call this person, this being, this angel, accursed.
Right.
He's not really an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the angel that came to Cornelius said, call Peter, he's going to come and teach you what you need to learn.
Right.
If an angel comes and says, let me tell you the gospel, and they tell you something different, they're to be accursed.
Right.
If Paul comes back, I mean, if he has some kind of a mental derangement, you know, being out in the sun too long or being shipwrecked too long or, you know, somebody hits him over the head or whatever it is.
Thrown out and left for dead for too long.
Yeah. Or he comes back, he says, even if I come back and tell you, oh, you know, let me tell you what the gospel is, not what I told you before, then don't even listen to me.
Yeah.
Don't, I should be accursed. He's so confident of this gospel that he preaches, that he repeats it in chapter 9.
Yeah.
Now, he's not talking about little differences of opinion, you know, like we would have between one church and another, one denomination and another, one Christian and another. There can be, you know, differences of opinions. He's not talking about little minor things that we might disagree on. He's talking about a different gospel. And, you know, people had come and set the law up, and it draws people away from Christ, because then that means the cross isn't sufficient.
Right.
Okay, you can have the cross, but you also have to do all these other things.
Yeah.
So Paul says, that's not the gospel. And he's so confident that he says, this is a great thing that's at stake.
Yeah.
Because when a false teacher changes the gospel or perverts the gospel, the salvation of people is threatened. If you don't tell people what the true gospel is, you're leading them away from the cross. You're leading them to hell, not to heaven.
Right.
Or if you have a group of people that are faithful Christians and you come in there as a false teacher and you start to plant doubts and divisions and, you know, things that are untrue, and you start to drive people away, you've not been good to those people. You've not helped those people. In fact, right. You've hindered their Christian life.
Their progress. Yeah. Their walk of faith with the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what I'm thinking about here is that, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
there's a lot there. It's that you can't go. Certainly you're going to be in relationship with the Lord, and the way that you maintain a relationship with the Lord is to be obedient to him,
mm-hmm.
to do his will.
Exactly.
If God wants you to go and talk to that person, you go and talk to that person. If he wants you to sit at home and pray,
mm-hmm.
you sit at home and pray.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what you do, because that's what God's calling you to do.
That's right.
But if you try and go and do other stuff that God's not asking you to do, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be an effective minister because you're trying to do it on your own. But in the relationship of keeping commandments and keeping laws, we can keep those laws, but that's not how we earn. That's not how we attain our salvation.
That's right.
Because it's only through, and that's a great distinction here.
Yes.
Because sometimes people get confused and think, oh, we don't have to keep any laws. We can do whatever we want.
Right.
And that's false.
Right. Oh, wow. I can't believe the show's over yet. I still have some stuff to talk about. I guess we're going to have to do
that next week. We'll have to come back next week.
Wow. Well, thanks for being with us, and I hope you've all had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray for you just to have an awesome week and be immersed in the Word of God. God bless everyone.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.